Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay and my co-hostess, Misty Hall. Good evening, Misty.
Good evening, Bonnie. Hi, how are you tonight?
Good, and welcome to all our listeners to our Straight Wives radio show. And first, if you're listening to this show, we want you to feel free to call in. So the first thing I'm going to do is give you our number here where you can call. And we're very happy to listen to your stories or to address any issues that you would like to bring up. So if you have a pencil handy, here's the number. It's 1-646-716-4893. And I'll mention that one more time, area code 646-716-4893. And how are things? Are you still in Kentucky, Misty?
Yes, I am.
Is it warming up there at all?
No, it turned off over the weekend. We have cold and rainy and gray skies again, so I'm still hopeful for next week.
We've had rain for the last 3 days here in Philadelphia, and it's really raining on our parade, but I'm very grateful for rain because rain doesn't bother me. It's the snow that bothers me. So hopefully spring is on its way, and that gives people a sense of renewal and hope. And I understand, Misty, that yesterday you had your grief workshop. How did that go?
Wow. Let me tell you, it was an amazing Saturday seminar for the with the topic of grief. It was absolutely amazing. We had, of course, I won't say any names because I don't want to identify anyone on there. However, we had several women coming from all corners of the world, and it's just so wonderful that they get to come together on a call from the comforts of their own home and listen to me, and then they get to share a bit of their story, and then we discuss specific topics. Yesterday, the specific topic was grief, and we had tears, we had laughter, and most importantly, we had some healing. That was the most important thing. We discussed grief in terms of how basically it's the death of their relationship and what a difficult grieving process it is, and many professionals do not recognize that this type of situation is so traumatic, and it does turn into a grieving process. You're grieving your past. You know, for example, why did your husband ask you to marry him to start with? You know, a lot of women grieve that. They grieve their present because they don't know what they're going to do. They feel stuck. And the big one is most of them grieve their future, and that's a hard one. It's a difficult one because in this particular group, my heart really went out to the women. Everyone in the call had been married 30-plus years.
Wow, that's a lifetime.
Yeah, that's a lifetime. When you make it 30-plus years, you know, you think you've got it figured out, you know. Some of these women came from, you know, there were not really any red flags. So it's difficult. My heart really went out to them. They got to, like I said, they shed a few tears. We got to shed a little bit of laughter as well, which laughter is always good. I highly recommend laughter. Anytime you can get it, sneak it in there. And we just discussed the grieving process, like the death of the relationship, and gave them all kinds of tools to help in the future. Because, you know, when you're in the midst of your grief, you don't even know what to do sometimes. You don't know how to get unstuck or how to go to the next level.
You know, Missy, right now I'm in the process of writing, you know, finishing up my newsletter for the month. And if anybody's interested in getting my free newsletter, feel free to write to me at bonkaye@aol.com. And I'm discussing something this month that's tied into the grieving. And, of course, that's the healing. And I think that one of the issues that constantly comes up in letters that I get every week from women is that they feel they're under some kind of timetable to get better because people have these expectations. Well, that was 6 months ago or that was a year ago. Why are you still, you know, feeling like this? You know, when are you going to get over it? When are you going to move on with your life? And it really irks me that people feel there has to be a timetable for the grieving of a marriage, especially ones like the women you're talking about where for 30 years you gave up your whole adult life living with a man, and you just get over that? And are you expected to? So were those some of the feelings that your women were having too?
Absolutely. that, you know, of course, we had women in there that were not divorced, and all the way up to women that had been divorced, you know, for quite some time. And unfortunately, our society does not really promote people to grief. Grief is a very healthy, normal response to a loss. And our society does not promote someone to grieve healthy. Our society does not promote someone to allow them to cry if they need to. When you're grieving, not everyone cries, but oftentimes people do. And if you want to clear a room, start crying. The room will shuffle, or someone's going to run to you to try to fix you to make you quit. So, you know, grief is not a topic we're well educated in our society, I do not believe.
I agree with you there, and I think that's grief in any level, on any level, because I know even for myself, and I've certainly been through some of the worst experiences in life, and, you know, it brings to mind my worst tragedy of losing my son, you know, 4 years ago. I always felt also that I was pressured, I had a time limit on my grief, you know, that I couldn't even really, you know, go through that whole grieving period because people were expecting me to return to my normal self. And I think that, you know, people really don't understand, as you say, that it's a process that takes time and you can't put a 2 months, 4 months, 1 year to it. You know, some people grieve for years and years because, you know, the loss is so great. And I think that even with these marriages that, you know, even if you finish grieving and you think you're done, you know, it only takes a little bit to trigger something and you're back in there. Have you seen that happen much?
Yes, I have a lot of women to contact me again. You know, I explain to them the grief process, and I say, you know, don't be upset if you have, we call it waves of grief, and, you know, in the profession. If you have another wave of grief to hit you, don't be upset. Because a lot of women think that, you know, you go through, like, I like to use Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's model. You know, she goes through, she talks about denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. You know, a lot of people don't like using her model. However, I think they misunderstand her model. And the reason I like it, especially for our women, because it's very simplistic. And people get caught up on, okay, well, I've been to the anger. Now I should never go back to the anger. I've graduated to the next stage. That's not the way it happens. Grief is a process in a circular motion, if you will. You know, pretend that all those stages are in a circle with arrows pointing towards and away from each one, because you can revisit each one. You can even skip one. Everyone may not go through an anger phase, you know. And unfortunately, with the anger, I'd like to bring it up, most people think that that's a bad thing. Anger is a wonderful emotion. It's a healthy, healing emotion. Now, you can do some stuff out of rage or anger to get yourself in trouble. So that's where you've got to be careful. But anger is a very valid emotion that everyone needs to feel. And, you know, when people pass through one stage, they think that they won't ever revisit it, and they feel like something's wrong with them because they've stepped back.
But well, I think that is really important to take note of this, Misty, why grieving in this particular situation is so much different than grieving when you lose someone you love and to a death. And the reason is because once you lose someone who dies, you know, it's total finality of the situation. The person is gone. So at a certain point, you know, you learn to come to the acceptance of that. But when you're grieving in a marriage like this, the person, even if he's not in the same house, he's still in your life. And it's really hard to not go through these phases continually if you have to keep dealing with that person. And especially when people have children together, they're going to find themselves having to interact. And it's going to be a constant reminder and pushing those same buttons that put you into this state to start with. And I feel that women who are going through this particular, you know, cycle of grief, for, and I'm going to give you an example. If they happen to have ended their marriage and their husbands are now off leading, you know, an authentic gay life, and the wife has to run into them and see them at a fair for the children or a party, and the man brings his lover with him, once again, that pushes that button all over again, and you're back to your angry phase. And so it's a repeated cycle. I don't think it's something that will leave in time because of the fact that you are forced to interact with each other when you do have children. It's not like people who get divorced and they don't have children, then their lives can move on. But so often the women who do have children and are still tied to their husbands, they have to keep repeating this over and over again, bringing them back to that same phase of anger. Wouldn't you say that's true, though?
I would say that's true. It is so true. So many of my clients deal with that. And I have to agree, the ones that have children, it is a bit more complicated process because you do have to make accommodations with a father to meet the child or see the children. And like you said, a lot of times, especially I find it more difficult when the gay husband has a lover early on, and not all of them, let me preface this phrase with that, but a few of the women I work with, their husbands that have the boyfriends try to introduce them into the family unit very early on. And I find that so difficult for the families.
Definitely.
It's very difficult for the parent and for the children. You know, give everyone time and space, you know. And the great part that I think that we need to clear up, because so many people don't understand this, these women I work with, they're not homophobic. Many of them really want to establish some type of family patterns or rituals. Even though the family unit is divorcing and breaking apart, they still want to maintain some type of unit. And it's difficult. It is difficult. It's very difficult to do that. But it's doable. It is doable. But I tell women, give yourself time and space. You can't rush it.
Well, not only that, but, you know, what upsets me with the men is, once again, I think there has to be a sense of fairness. And these
mm-hmm.
men struggled with their homosexuality for years. They couldn't come to terms with it. They didn't come to terms with it until they were ready to come to terms with it. And it could take them 10 years, 20, 30, or more. And then when they're finally ready to be who they are and they're out there and now trying to make up for all this lost time and they can't understand why this is bothering their wives and why they can't accept it, look how long they didn't accept it in themselves. If they took them years, why should it take the woman any amount of shorter time to accept this and to, you know, just get that visualization in her mind? I find that so many women, when they visualize, including me, you know, when I was visualizing about my husband being with a man, it really made me ill, and I used to have to go to the bathroom and throw up. You know, it's not an imagery that we're used to or that we want to see or that we can even accept, because that's just the way that mechanically we're built. So now we have to deal with all of these issues, and like you said, bringing the man home. One of the things that we were hoping for tonight, but it's not coming off tonight, but we're going to really aim for next week, and we're going to let a lot of our, you know, support network know. We really want to do a special show about, you know, the children and how this affects the children, when's the best time to tell the children. And we're going to ask members from our support network to call in to give different opinions on it and to see how children react to this and the traumas that they have to go through, including the questioning of their own sexuality, you know, through their teenage years and wondering, is this going to happen to me? What's the best way to tell the children? When's the best time to tell the children? Because everybody has different advice and everybody has different feelings about this, but we really want to focus on that for next week. So we're hoping that you'll be listening in. But getting back to our point about, you know, how it takes so long to adjust, I just wanted to bring up a news story that came out this week, or in this past week, about the state senator in California, Roy Ashburn. And I'm sure you're familiar with that story, Misty, because we talked about it. But here's like another typical example, and I'm reading from the story, and this is from last week, where it says, Roy Ashburn, California state senator, says he's gay after DUI arrest. And the story reads, Republican State Senator Roy Ashburn said Monday he is gay, ending days of speculation that began after his arrest last week for investigation of driving under the influence. Ashburn, who consistently voted against gay rights measures during his 14 years in the state legislature, came out in an interview with KERN Radio in Bakersfield, the area he represents. Ashburn said he felt compelled to address rumors that he visited a gay nightclub near the Capitol before his DUI arrest. I am gay. Those are the words that have been so difficult for me for so long, Ashburn told the conservative talk show host Inga Barks. The 55-year-old father of four said he tried to keep his personal life separate from his professional life until his March 3rd arrest. When I crossed the line and broke the law and put people at risk, that's different. And I do owe people an explanation, he said. Ashburn was arrested after he was spotted driving erratically near the Capitol, according to the California Highway Patrol. Shelley Oreo, a spokeswoman from the Sacramento County District Attorney's Office, said a breath test showed the senator's blood alcohol level was 0.14%, or 0.06 points above the legal limit. The next day, reports surfaced that Ashburn had left Faces, a gay nightclub, with an unidentified man in the passenger seat of his Senate-owned vehicle. The best way to handle that is to be truthful and say to my constituents and all who care that I am gay, he said. But I don't think it's something that has affected, nor will it affect, how I do my job. Ashburn had been on his personal leave since his arrest, but attended Monday's brief Senate session where he avoided the media. Fellow lawmakers greeted him warmly, and he received pats on the back and hugs from some Republicans and Democrats. Ashburn had voted against a number of gay rights measures, including efforts to expand anti-discrimination laws and recognize out-of-state gay marriages. Last year, he opposed a bill to establish a day of recognition to honor slain gay activist rights activist Harvey Milk. Equality California, a group that advocates for expanding gay rights and other issues, has consistently given Ashburn a zero rating on its scorecard. The group's executive director, Jeff Kaur, said Monday that he hopes the senator's revelation will lead him to change his voting patterns. He's still the same person, only living more honestly, Kaur says. I hope his own self-awareness will result in him no longer voting to deny people the most basic rights. Ashburn said his votes reflected the way constituents in his district wanted him to vote, not necessarily his own views. I felt my duty, and I still feel the same way. It is to represent my constituents, not my own point of view, not my own internal conflict, he told Barks. Ashburn said he planned to continue voting on behalf of what he sees as the majority viewpoint in his district, which includes parts of Kern, Tulare, and San Bernardino counties. Former State Sheila Kuhl, an openly gay Democrat who was visiting the Capitol Monday, said she hopes Ashburn receives support, not condemnation, from his friends, family, and constituents. It's very painful, she said, of the coming out process, and mostly it's painful because you think everyone will be against you. In the radio interview, Ashburn said he is drawing on his Christian faith, and he asked people to pray for him. He does not plan to run for any public office after this term year ends. And that was the story. So I found the story really interesting, Misty, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. I like when people think that, you know, first of all, that even from the gay person who ran the organization, when she says, it's very painful, she said, of the coming out process, and mostly it's painful. Well, first of all, it wasn't like a coming out process. It's once again like that Governor McGreevy from New Jersey who didn't do anybody a big favor by coming out. He was caught. Now, if this man hadn't been caught, do you think he would be coming out?
Wow. I think that's a very legitimate question, and I think that's the only well, you know, look at a lot of the women we work with. That's how the women find out. They don't admit it. They don't usually admit it to them, and most of them hide it, but it's a lot of times they're caught. That's the only way.
Right, because they're not going to come out and admit it. I mean, here's a man who's 55 years old hanging out in gay bars, and he's a state representative and getting drunk. I mean, this man actually had, I mean, I don't even know what he was thinking. If you're trying to really, you know, keep undercover and keep from exposing all of this, why are you out there so publicly?
I have to agree. And, you know, and I also have a problem with, I do believe when you're an elected official that you do need to be an upstanding citizen. I'm not saying it's not being upstanding if you're gay, not that at all. But for crying out loud, he got driving with a DUI, and then, you know, he's not doing the gay community any favors by, until he gets caught. You know, it's sad. It's really a sad situation.
Well, what really hurts me the most, and, you know, this is where I'm coming from on him also. Here's a man who's so anti-gay, voting against all these gay bills, trying to discriminate against gay people, you know, trying to create an image for himself as a guy with Christian values so that people won't be suspicious. And it's just like a phony identity that he's using. And I think the fact that it's bad enough if you, you know, you get married and you don't tell your wife. If you don't want to come out, I can understand that. But to go and vote anti-gay legislation when you're gay, I mean, it's really a form of self-hatred and selfishness. You know, it really hurts me that people like this don't have any it's just like with Ted Haggard condemning gay people. You know, I don't get it. Why, you know, I understand the whole thing of trying to make a big cover. But why at the expense of innocent people? You know,
absolutely.
Why create more homophobia than you have to create just to protect yourself?
Isn't it interesting how that a lot of gay people themselves that won't come out of the closet create a lot of the homophobic reactions in public and things? That really breaks my heart when I see things like that happen.
I know. It's not like gay people don't have it tough enough to start with, but then they have to have their own people going and condemning them because they're selfish and because they don't want to come out. And they want to, you know, deflect suspicion away from themselves. And this to me is like, once again, the greatest form of selfishness. And it's so nice that the gay community is so willing to forgive him. I mean, personally, I'm not. I don't think it's all that forgivable to you.
I can tell you, if I was gay right now, I would not be happy with him, especially, well, he's not going to run for election again, but I would probably show that when I went to go vote, you know, if he were running for election, especially if I was gay. I would not be happy about that because it brings, what happens is, instead of bringing them some upstanding information or highlights information, things such as that, it brings them more negativity. The gay community doesn't need more. They don't need more negativity.
Now, in the meantime, he's married. So I don't see anything written in this story about his wife and her feelings.
Wow, that was the question I was going to ask because that article did not point that out. That was one of the first questions that came to mind. It said he had four children. So is he currently married?
From what I'm understanding, I'm checking it now, but I believe he is still married. And in that case, you know, it's nice that he's apologizing to everybody else. I'm wondering, it says here he's married with children. And it says that, let's see what it's saying here. With the rest next to hotel. He's married with kids. And Ashburn was arrested after leaving the bar. He didn't even break the rules. He's a bigot. Well, that's from one of the gay newspapers. I believe he is married. And once again, it never came up whether or not he's going to apologize to his wife for what he's done.
Wow. I feel sorry for her. We all know what that's like.
See, I just don't get it. It's like I say, he's an elected official. Doesn't he think that people are going to be watching him? He's going into a gay bar and getting drunk. Does he think that no one's going to... I mean, where do they have this sense of, you know, they're above the law, that nobody's going to notice this?
Yeah. I think that comes with a lot of elected officials. I think oftentimes they do think they're above the law, which is unfortunate.
That's why sometimes I really wish that we would have gay men call in here to give more comments, because I'd like to know what they're thinking from their point of view. Like these
absolutely,
are things,
that would be great.
These are things that really puzzle me. And it's sort of like a call I had today with a young man who's, you know, what I call the other man. He gave me a call from another part of the country, and he's madly in love with a married man. And the married man's been married for over 30 years. And, you know, he's just, you know, obsessed with this guy. And I talk to a lot of guys who are what we call the other men, just like you have the other woman, you know, when it's a woman affair. But these are guys who are going with married men and who are really, you know, falling in love with them, buying into their stories, you know, when they tell them that you're the guy I've been waiting for who can help me come out and help me come to terms with myself. And they get these guys so involved with them and so infatuated, and it really puzzles me a lot of times. You know, why these guys set themselves up to get hurt. You know, I don't think there's any, you know, I'm not sitting and defending them because they're sitting there and disrupting the life also, as I try to explain. but they're convinced that they're going to be the ones who give this, you know, gay man, you know, his new identity of sexual whoever he is and spend their lives happily ever after, and it so rarely ever happens. You know, these guys who stay in these marriages, they're not looking to leave. They're looking to have their cake and to eat it too. But one of the interesting points that I had a conversation with, and I think this is so important for women who write to me every week, and I listen to the same story, and I'm sure you hear it all the time too, is that my husband couldn't possibly be cheating on me because of the fact I know where he is all the time. How many times do you hear that?
Oh, Bonnie, I hear that from so many women more often than not. I would say 75% maybe. 70 to 75% of my women probably think that.
And then, you know, in time, after we tell them what to do to check it, to find out, you know, eventually, it usually always ends up the way we tell them, that they're out there doing something. And I explain to women that it only takes 30 seconds to run into a men's room to have a sexual encounter. You know, it's not like you have to fall in love with someone to have sex. You know, one thing has nothing to do with the other. But for them to really believe that they can chain their husbands down, like this gentleman was telling me, well, his wife thinks that she knows where he is all the time. She has a short leash on him. He has to be home by a certain time, you know, so that she'll know where he is. Or, you know, he's always home on the weekends. He's not allowed to go out then because she has to be with him. And so here's this man who's been not only with this guy but with plenty of other guys. He's always on the Internet, always looking up guys. And women just don't understand what this whole situation's about. They are very naive.
They are. And you know what, Bonnie? I used to be one of those women. I have to admit, I was one of those women. I thought that my husband at the time did not have any free time to cheat, did not have any free time to be roaming around looking for men. Of course, he did not. He was even doing that because he never admitted to me. And I used to be one of those women. However, with wisdom and with education and over the years, and especially even working with these women, relationship 101, you will not keep a spouse from cheating if their intention is to cheat. You're not going to do it. I don't care how much you watch them, how short the leash is.
And
if
not only that, but you're not going
to
stop
them
from being gay.
It's even more so. Exactly. You cannot change someone's sexual identity.
And I think this is the part that women just don't get. They think if they can, you know, love them enough and love them more, show them support, you know, that those feelings are going to go away. And especially the women who have been in marriages for a long time. And that's what I'm writing about in this newsletter. You know, when you've been in a marriage for 20 years or 25 or 30 years, and you thought you had a good marriage, and all of a sudden, you know, boom, your husband announces to you he's gay. You're sure that there's something wrong with him. How many women think it's a midlife crisis that he's going through, that he's going to get over it? And especially because at that point, many of them don't want to leave. You know, they're just on their beginning of their confession trail, but they're not ready to admit that they are. And, you know, even there are women who men are having sex with, and they're still having sex with men. I think this throws women off a lot also. They think, well, my husband's having sex with me, so he's not having sex with a guy. And they're absolutely wrong. They are having sex with guys. And that's why you have so many women who are coming down with sexually transmitted diseases. And that's the sin of it, because women don't want to believe.
Isn't it terrible? I have had so many women come to me that have presently or past had some type of sexually transmitted disease. And there are deadly sexually transmitted diseases out there, too, so you have to be careful. And I'd like to say to all women out there, if you even suspect your husband's gay and or cheating, you have to use sexual protection. I mean, you really have to use it. You can't take that chance.
I know, and I feel so bad when I talk to women who aren't using any protection, and they know their husbands are gay, but they don't want to make them feel like they're accusing them of being out there having sex. So this is their way of getting their husbands to admire the fact that they trust them. While he's out there having sex with guys. I mean, it's so screwed up. It's really a very distorted way of looking at things. And we just want to remind people, if you would like to call into our show to discuss this or any of the other issues, please feel free to call us. You can call us anonymously or tell us who you are. Our phone number is area code 646-716-4893. So getting back to our topic about men who are cheating, Misty, I would say, you know, when women tell me that my husband hasn't been out there yet, the fact that she knows that he's even telling her about it, she has to reassure herself that he's been out there. Because most guys are not going to take the chance of telling their wives unless they know that they're out there and that they can live with this.
I think you're right. Most of them are in the marriage before they test the water, so to speak, or revisit their sexual tendencies of being gay, because sometimes they'll put that on hold and they'll have sex with their wife. And then, you know, as we know, you can't change someone's sexual identity. So it usually comes up again. You know, like you said in one of the radio calls, I think it's great to point out, you know, when men are younger, they can have sex easier, even if they are gay, like in their 20s. And as they get older, it's harder and harder to perform with their wife, especially if they're gay. And a lot of the women I work with think that their husbands had the erectile dysfunction, that and they were very supportive.
I know. Isn't that horrible?
Yeah, it breaks my heart when I hear that. Yeah.
We do have a call coming in. Let's see who's joining us. One moment.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, you're with
this
Bonnie.
This is Pat from... Hi, Bonnie. I've just been listening to you on my computer. I can't believe I'm calling in. Excuse me.
Sure.
Well, I'm Pat from Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been married. It'll be 35 years in August. My husband is 67.
Mm-hmm.
Does not look gay. But anyway, I've always thought... I mean, I said from day one, he's not into women. But, you know, I thought, oh, he's from this strict background, religious, you know, something. He just hasn't been around. And I had a nice sex life before I married him, fortunately, so I knew there was something really wrong.
How long have you been married?
It'll be 35 years in August.
Oh, wow.
But I haven't had sex with him for, I would say, about 27 years.
Wow.
I don't. And I'm still here. I mean, I'm laughing, but the point is I knew, and there were like little clues. And finally, I looked some things up on the Internet just about a week ago. A friend said, you need to check the Internet. Why I never thought of that, I don't know. So there it is in black and white, reading the stories of the other women. You know, what your life is like. You've been living a lie. You're with a man who doesn't like a woman. A woman's body, no. Never cuddled, no passionate kissing, no affection, bickering constantly, like two bad roommates living together.
Mm-hmm.
We have one adopted son who's 31 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So there. My story is out there to the whole world listening in. But I'm going to see a really good therapist this Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one last week. She advertised in the paper that she dealt with gays and lesbians. But when I got there, not really this type of situation. So I called PFLAG. I'm sure you're familiar with them.
Yes, we are.
And they did give me someone. So I'm seeing this woman this week, and where I'm going from here, I don't know. But I gave my husband some papers that I copied from the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
One was something about the monkey in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was from your page. And, you know, being in denial. So he took them up to his room, read them, and he came down and very calmly, he had time to think about it, of course. Pat, I am not gay. Blah, 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 blah. You know, so he will never, ever admit this. I even got the movie Brokeback Mountain and watched that this week for the first time, and realized that he's from exactly that era.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he graduated in 1960. You can't be gay. No, you have to go into the service, you've got to be manly,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to find a wife. And when I told him, I said, you know, who were your girlfriends in high school? I just said that a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said, he just looked at me like in disbelief, and then he said, Pat, I was married for 2 years before I married you. And I said, yeah, and she was smart enough to get out.
Right.
You know, so because he was married before, she must have caught on to it. I did. I mean, I pretty much knew there were just too many little things. Right after we were married, he took me to visit a friend. He said, I want you to meet this couple. Oh, you're going to love Luann. That was all he talked about was the woman. We
mm-hmm.
had to drive 3 hours to their house. There was the man, the woman, and the two children. I had a lovely time with her. I don't remember him much until we were leaving. He was at the door saying goodbye. We're on our way home. My husband asked what I thought of them, and, you know, I made some comments. And then he said, when I was in the service, I was at a party with this guy, Jim, and we fell asleep. He was on the couch. I was on the floor. Middle of the night, there he was next to me telling me he wanted to have sex with me. And I said, oh, my God, what did you say? He said, I told him I wouldn't be interested. And I said, Bob, why did you just take me to visit them?
Exactly.
Oh, I wanted to see what you thought. I wanted to see if you thought he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he took me to say, look, Jim, I did what you did. I got married. See, you don't think of someone being gay if they're married and they have children.
Well, that's so true, Pat. What year did you get married?
1975.
Okay, and I got married a couple years later than you, in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I both grew up in a very similar generation. Missy's younger than us, so you know,
uh-huh.
Missy didn't grow up where we did back in the 60s when there were different trains of thought, like you had that Professor Kinsey, who came
mm-hmm.
out and stated that 87% of all men have some kind of same-sex encounter. You know, we grew up in a generation of promiscuity when people were having orgies, you know,
uh-huh.
where everybody was trying something. And
yeah,
so even
yeah.
if you thought that somebody tried something, that didn't mean they were going to be gay. They meant
mm-hmm.
they tried it and they didn't like it. So,
yeah, right.
you know, a lot of times women blame themselves that, you know, I knew something, but why didn't I catch it? Because we didn't understand it. You know,
well,
people didn't explain it to us back then.
Well, let's see. I mean, but for me to say right away, this man is not into women, well, I thought it was kind of a good thing because I just thought, well, he's just not a real sexual, crazy, lunatic guy like
right,
so many out there now.
Right, a lot of women, they don't want a man who's going to be all over them. They want someone who
mm-hmm.
could love them for who they are. And
yeah.
a lot of guys are just so aggressive. So when you find someone who really respects you,
yeah,
and
that was it.
Did you come
that
from a religious background?
He did, yes.
Okay. So
did
a lot
I?
Of times, a lot of times
yeah.
you think it's the religious beliefs.
Yeah, he was a Dutch Reformed.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very strict, you know, grandparents at least.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he blames a little of, you know, whatever, his distance on the fact that his mother died when he was 17. That had nothing to do with it.
No, it really
no.
doesn't. That has nothing to
no.
do with the fact that he can't be emotionally attached to you.
Absolutely no. You know, I can remember crying like a typical man. I really was amazed that he didn't. It was over some issue, and I was trying to get him to agree with me, and we were just going back and forth, and he absolutely just overpowered me with whatever he was saying, that all I could do was start crying. I thought, oh, my God, I'm not getting through to him. Well, he was over on a chair, and I was sitting on the couch. I would have thought he'd get up and come over and put his arm around me and say, oh, honey, you know, I'm just so sorry, but I just can't go along with your thinking. Or even if he still disagreed, he would have to have some sympathy for a woman crying.
Mm-hmm.
No. But hey, I moved in with him just before we got married. He really was rushing me into this and don't sign your lease, move into my apartment. And his father was living with him, who had recently been divorced.
Mm-hmm.
I did get some affection from his father. You know, he would hug me and give me a kiss on the cheek. He laughed. He liked the food that I made. So I don't think I realized it for the 2 years that he was with us. But the very first night I moved into his apartment, I know it had to be that night, as I thought back about this. I went into the bathroom, took a shower, did my hair, put a little touch of makeup on, stepped out into the bedroom. I don't know if he said, oh, I had a negligee on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he said anything. I got into bed. We had a little conversation, and he said, well, I'm tired now. Kissed
mm-hmm.
me on the cheek, turned the light off, and rolled over.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, my God, I've just given up my apartment and everything. First night with this man in his place, you know, I'm living here now, and this...
Did you have sex with him prior to that time?
I did, yeah. And it,
how was it?
I think, well, I'm not going to say it was good.
Mm-hmm.
All I can remember thinking is, well, it'll get better.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, I kind of thought, okay, I've had other men. I was 30 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I've had other men, other relationships. And many times I felt the sex got boring. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this again?
Mm-hmm.
So when I met him, I thought, okay, the sex isn't there to begin with. Well, that's okay, because we got that over with. I mean, that's really what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
We got that part over with, because anybody that's married, after a few years, it's going to be boring anyway. So we got that over with. It's never even started. But I didn't realize the emotional, you know, lack of emotion, lack of affection. That's what I didn't realize would be missing.
Well, wasn't
and
that
I didn't
missing
know
before
why.
You moved in with him?
Pardon me?
Was that missing before you moved in with him?
Well, I would say yes. We mm-hmm. never, ever kissed passionately.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to teach him once after we had been married a few years. I mean, I tried to have sex with him as seldom as possible. It was so horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And but, I mean, other than that, it was just strictly arguing all the time. He didn't like my friends. He didn't want to go to that restaurant. He's not going to that play. I'm not going here. I'm not going. I don't like those people. You know, it was constantly things like that.
No, I think that's a
and
very normal reaction for many of these gay men. What they try to do is isolate you from everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they try to make it, you know, so that you don't have friends coming there. You know, they're so afraid that people are going to find out their secret.
Mm-hmm.
So by detaching you from everybody around you, they think they're protecting themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're afraid somebody's going to recognize it, somebody's going to know it.
Yeah,
so
I really think that's it.
It's a very common thing that people, you know, that men do often. They either have you move away to another town.
That's what he did. I'm in Cincinnati. I'm from Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Within a few years of being married, he found this job down here. We even went to see a minister at that time. We were being counseled just prior to that. And we went to him and I said, I don't want to go to Cincinnati. My family is here. I'm 37 years old. I don't want to do this. But he got me thinking that my husband wants to better his career, to take
mm-hmm.
care of his family. Then he got my husband aside and said, you don't want to take your wife away from her family and her friends. So he got him thinking about me. So
mm-hmm.
we were both going, oh, let's, you know, whatever you want. And then he would say that to me. So I said, all right, I'll come down there with you and just check out the town. Well, I actually happen to like Cincinnati, so I went along with it. You know, I have to blame myself. And the minister said, whatever you do, go there together. Don't let him go alone. You go with him. Now, if I had stayed behind to sell the house,
mm-hmm.
I probably would have divorced him.
Mm-hmm.
I would have come to my senses and said, hey, this is much better than being with that. But no, once I was down here, and then I got so involved, and I really was leading my own life at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I was very involved in tennis and golf, and he traveled, and he lived at the golf course. He would come down here primping in front of the mirror. If you could see his room, he had to make one whole room into a closet. And I just read something on the Internet tonight about certain gay men. They like to wear T-shirts and baseball caps.
Mm-hmm.
When I went up to his room, I haven't been up there in a couple of years. I went up and looked a few days ago and he was out of town. He must have 200 baseball caps.
Huh.
He must have, I can't even tell you, pants, shirts, everything packed into every closet in this four-bedroom house. And one bedroom is a complete closet. He's turned that into a closet.
Well, it sounds like
and
he likes living in a closet, for sure.
Yeah, there you got it. And he goes,
you know, you're giving some
all
other hints, Pat. You're giving some other hints that I don't even know if you're seeing them. The fact that
yeah.
you know he would travel a lot.
Uh huh.
You know, this is one of the signs I tell women. You know, when you have a husband who's out there traveling, and he's not doing anything with you, don't think he's not doing something with someone else.
Well, see, I've tried to say that to like a few people at Noma. I was just on the phone with my sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
She lives way up in Wisconsin, so she hasn't seen him all that often over the years, but often enough. And she said, "I don't think he is."
Mm-hmm.
She just, but she realizes that we bickered and argued all the time, and that he's into clothing, and you know he. Well, she just doesn't think that he could possibly have sex with someone. And I thought, oh, she said, "Well, he doesn't have a boyfriend, does he? But he's got this horrid personality." That, I mean, there wouldn't be a guy out there going, oh, I'd like him as my boyfriend.
Does he have any male friends?
No, no.
And a lot of times...
And I brought that up the
other... Yeah, a lot of times that's another sign they don't have male friends.
That is a sign?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Because, you know, men, it's like you can't be around real, normal men. Now, he said, oh, I have friends. Well, what about Gary? I just told him this yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Where are your friends? I have friends. What about Gary? I said, those are all business associates, Bob. You know, one night we had just moved down here. We were in this rented house, probably 1981 or 1982. The phone rang in the middle of the night. I was already sleeping on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on the first floor on the couch, coffee table right there with the phone. Middle of the night, I answered the phone. I said, the guy asked for Bob. Can I speak to Bob? And I thought, well, maybe it's business. I don't know. I'm sort of awakened in the middle of the night. I said, who's calling? Oh, this is David Clemens. I said, may I tell him why you're calling? Well, he proceeded to tell me what he wanted to do to Bob in no uncertain terms. So me, of course, already thinking he's gay, I listened to what the man said.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, hold on just a minute. So I yelled up to my husband. I said, Bob, telephone. Well, of course, I stayed on the line to listen. So the guy said, hey, Bob, it's Dave Clemens. And Bob says, hey, how you doing? Well, the guy then said, hey, I want to get together and do da-da-da-da-da to you. Well, Bob said, oh, no, I wouldn't be interested. And he slammed the phone down. So, of course, I hung up. Phone starts ringing 30 seconds later. He was like a lunatic screaming to me not to answer the phone. It was an obscene phone call. Well, I mean, I have to ask myself, where does the guy point to a name in the phone book and decide I'm going to call that one and make my obscene phone call?
Exactly.
No, somehow there was a connection.
Exactly.
And, of course, he denied it. I mean, there's just little things like that, you know, taking me to visit that friend of his, and
mm-hmm.
I was sort of on to it. But
does he spend much time on the computer?
Well, he never did. He never had one until
mm-hmm.
very recently. And now, oh, he's like a crazed man. He's got to get his computer running. As a matter of fact, I went out the other day. My electricity went out in the room here. So I thought, okay, I'm going out. I'm going to go downstairs and flip the switches because I've been blow-drying my hair.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew what happened. So I unplugged the computer for some reason in my room, and we had this wireless connection to upstairs to his.
Uh-huh.
So I went out, flipped all the switches, and left to go out to eat, came back, and I can see him up in my window, and he's on the phone. I thought, what is he doing in there? My room. So when I came in, he was at the top of the steps. What's going on with the computer? I'm on the phone with the computer guy. Blah, 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 blah. Gotta get my computer. Oh, I thought, it's Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
Have you ever tried internet his activity on the computer, Pat?
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Have you ever tried checking his computer activity?
Oh, well, you know what? For the very first time, I went up there when he went out of town
mm-hmm.
last Monday. I haven't been upstairs, as I said, in like 2 years. So I went to his computer. I couldn't believe I got right on what's sitting right in front of me, but 4 chat rooms. You know, like links to them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one was something about Spanish, Latin, and then the other one was something about singles, and
mm-hmm.
it mentioned a suburb not far from here, looked to me like women. And there were, it was like pornographic women with their light. You know, there were some little pictures. I didn't want to go, like you'd have to sign in to really get into it.
Mm-hmm.
But there were women with their legs spread open.
Mm-hmm.
And the others, I couldn't tell. I started panicking. Like, oh, my God, what if he knows I've done this?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say that anything looked like, you know, gay men.
Mm-hmm.
But I think part of it had to do with the fact that we almost got divorced 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of came to this awakening, and I started going out. I thought, this man is definitely gay. My life is too short. I've got to get out of here. So he started going out, and I thought, you know, if I left him, he will find another woman. And he was looking for women in this area where there's a certain bar that he likes to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he'd have to go by himself. He has no friends. So he would want to meet a woman to remarry, and he'd probably have no problem. He's not bad looking,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, can talk,
mm-hmm.
talk, no problem there. But, I mean, as far as affection, it's not there.
Well, so why are you staying there?
Why am I saying what?
Why are you staying in the marriage?
Oh, well, because I was going to get divorced. I mean, I really felt like I was trying to lead my own life. I was very busy with my golf, my tennis, raising my son, running him here, running there. I couldn't get my husband to go to church with us. He was always at the golf course. And, like on Mother's Day, he
uh-huh.
would say, you're not my mother. You know, you can go out with David. So then he could go to the golf course.
Uh-huh.
On Father's Day, oh, it's my day. I get to go to the golf course.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I thought, well, you know, where am I going at this point in life? You know, the main thing that happened is I got out of all the outside golf and tennis because I have arthritis, and I'm getting a little older, so I found this little business selling on eBay.
Mm.
Well, I was happy. I was going to be in the house. I could take a nap if I wanted to do whatever. Oh, I have my own business. Loved it. He quit the golf club about maybe 2 years after I started doing this,
mm-hmm.
and I was begging him at that point to stay in the golf club because I knew what would happen. He would be trying to get involved in my life, which he was. Oh, I feel like going on a vacation. I'm like, hey, I felt like doing that 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Go. You want to go somewhere? Go. Don't look at me. Not now. Uh-uh. So he's just been driving me crazy the last several years. And what actually happened is I met a man that I was selling something to online. We got to talking. He's French. And he's saying, before long, I mean, it took like a little bit of me, you know, lying a little about my life. And then I finally said, here's the true story. And he was like, oh, my God. You know, there's something definitely wrong there. You know, this isn't a normal marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So then I finally said, I think he's gay. That was really about the first time I said it to anyone. So this man and I have been communicating for like 3 years now. He's married. He lives in another country. So I knew we were never going to get together. But it's gotten to be just a friendship, and he listens to me. So I'm telling you my whole life story here. But that's what kind of my husband overheard me saying that I was going to have an affair. He overheard me on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling my sister, like, why not? So I started going out, and I was really meeting men, but nothing, you know, not doing anything bad. I mean, some kissing, but it was like, wow, I really still have these feelings. Isn't this
mm-hmm.
wonderful that there are men out there that are real men? Well, my husband saw me kiss a man on the cheek. He's actually the piano player. And he emailed me, my husband emailed me like 2 days ago, you know, and you started running around the bars, chasing the boys, and I even saw you kissing one on the cheek. And, you know, and I am not gay. He's writing this to me in an email. I didn't even answer him. It was so ludicrous. But
maybe you ought to say to him, is there a reason why in 27 years we haven't had any kind of sexual contact?
This is the part that's ludicrous. He even mentioned this in the email, and he mentioned it to me when he came down after reading those papers. He said, Pat, I want you to call my doctor, and he'll tell you I have erectile dysfunction. I even got Viagra, and I've never used it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said, Bob, your erectile dysfunction means nothing to me. When we
mm-hmm.
haven't had sex in maybe 27 years, and you're going to tell me about this that you found out 2 years ago?
Exactly.
I said, oh, you know what I actually said to him? I said, after I said that,
I would
I said,
have asked him,
anyway,
why did you ask for Viagra? I mean, we haven't had sex in 25 years at that point.
Well, I'll get to that in 1 second, but when I said to him, I am not going to call your doctor about your erectile dysfunction. That's so ludicrous, you know, no sex all these years. And I said, in any way, that doesn't mean that you're not gay. I said, because I said, you probably get effed in the ass, and then you use your preparation H.
Uh-huh.
Well, one of the women told me that they keep this preparation H around for that reason. So I found some in his medicine cabinet. So I don't know anything. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know how they do it, who does what to whom. But I'm finding some of this out on the Internet.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, but while we were going to be getting this divorce, and after he heard me say that, you know, I said, you and I have lived like, well, this is going back like 2.5 years ago, let's say. I said, you and I have lived like brother and sister for the last 5 years, let's say, at that time.
Uh-huh.
And I said, and any sex we had before that, I don't even remember. I said, it was so bad, I've completely blocked it out of my mind. So he said, well, I'm getting some Viagra. He told me, I found out I have erectile dysfunction, and I'm getting some Viagra. And I was like in total disbelief. I said, well, I sure hope you find a nice woman to use it on, or a man, or whatever, but you would certainly not be getting it for me.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, we'll see about that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, after not having sex for, at that point, 25 years, he's going to say that to me?
Well,
then he told
say me, that it's true and that you know it. Would
pardon
you do something? Let's say you know for sure that he is. Would it make
mm-hmm.
you leave the marriage?
Well, you know, I'm not positive. When he came down here about 2 days ago, the day after reading the papers that I gave to him,
mm-hmm.
he came down and he said, all right, Pat. And I said, what, Bob? He talks like in this real mean voice. And he goes, we have three options. We can go see a marriage counselor and see if we can get this to work out. I'm going, marriage counselor? That's for people who are actually, you know, like a man and woman who actually have a real marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we go see a marriage counselor? How ludicrous is that? And then he said, okay, well, then we could get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can try to live in the same house until one or the other of us gets fed up and goes for the divorce. So I just said, I haven't decided yet what I'm going to do. So I don't know. I think it's going to be difficult. But you know what? Oh, and then he said, and so there was like a little bickering going back and forth, but I kept trying to stay calm. He ended by saying, and if you give me anything else like that to read, I'll shove it down your throat.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, you're going to threaten me now. I don't think you'd be shoving it. And I said, you don't even have to worry. There's not another thing that I need to give you to read. Everything that I had to say was in those papers.
Yeah,
you know?
But I just don't understand. Why would you want to stay in a loveless, emotionless relationship all these years
mm-hmm.
with someone who doesn't treat you kindly, with someone who's fighting with you constantly? And, you know, we tell this to women all the time. It doesn't have to be a gay thing.
Mm-hmm.
It just there's a lot of predators out there who aren't gay. You know,
uh-huh.
they just prey on women for whatever their own messed up reasons are. But, you know, it's
well,
like you've given away your whole adult life to this man and had no satisfaction at all.
Yeah, but I am 65.
Would you say that you love him?
No. I told him that I don't really like you. I've never liked you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I used to say to myself, maybe I love him because he's my husband. Maybe. Well,
mm-hmm.
I told him, I will tell him, you know, whatever, but I mean, right now, I don't like him listening into my phone calls, and he's upstairs. I hope he doesn't hear, you know, he's not, like, snooping. He comes down to the kitchen
uh-huh.
to listen through this little shuttered window that I have closed.
Uh-huh.
That's how he's found out, you know, some of, like, what I'm up to. But it's like I've finally come to this realization, and he is scared to death to lose me. And the funny thing is, then he turns around and acts as if I've never said any of this to him.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday morning, he went out somewhere, and he came back, and he said, I got a quiche. I'm putting it in the oven now. You know, if you want some, it'll be ready in about an hour. And then he sat there in the kitchen, listening in on my phone call to a sick sister in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and listening in. You know, what can I say? Go somewhere else. No, he had something in the oven, so I can't. You know, I there's just no place else for me to go to get away from him. So that is driving me a little crazy.
Well, is it financially, too, while you're still there, Pat?
You know, to a certain degree, because he's got the money. It's up in an account in Cleveland, actually with his ex-partner. I keep saying, how ludicrous is this that you have this man in charge of your bank, our bank account? He has his own business, and
mm-hmm.
this man used to be his partner. Well, Bob is too lazy. He doesn't want to handle the paperwork and the books and everything, so he's continued to let this man do it. And the man has cancer. I mean, what if he dies? Does his wife grab the money? You know, it's so crazy. I mean, he gives me a certain amount of money each month to pay bills and like to have a little extra money. I have Social Security money. I have a little inheritance money from my father. I make money selling on eBay. But, you know, I am kind of scared, like if I... Oh, he... When I was going to get divorced 2 years ago, I actually went to a lawyer, gave him the money, and my husband said, I'll go along with it, no contest divorce,
mm-hmm.
if you agree to these terms. And he wanted me to take 60%. No, he was going to take 60% and give me 40 instead of 50-50 of his business, and all kinds of other little things in there. So,
well, it sounds to me like you have a good support system. You have a family, correct?
Well, not much anymore. My dad died a year and a half ago. My mother's already gone. My
sister
is now in the hospital with, you know, horrible pneumonia. She's not in good shape. My brother died. Another sister died. I only have one other sister who's gone through a divorce from hell. I mean, her husband just dragged her through the courts. You know, so when you see that, you're like, oh, my God, do I want to go through this? He isn't through with her yet. You know,
kind of relationship did your husband have with your son?
Well, my son likes him now. You know, and I actually called my son a couple days ago and told him, you know, I'm giving Dad these papers and,
mm-hmm.
you know, blah, blah, I want you to know. I've told him before. But anyway, he was kind of really giving me a rash of crap, you know, like, you said for better or worse, and you've been with him all these years. If you didn't like it, why didn't you leave? Why are you bringing this up now?
Mm-hmm.
And da-da-da-da, and bringing up the Bible. And then I said, well, what about, you know, the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery. I mean, I said, Dave, I'm sure that he's been with men. That's cheating.
Mm-hmm.
So finally he ended by saying, you know, he was very calm. He said, I love you both. I don't care if you killed somebody or you're in jail. I love you both. But you need to do what you think, what's going to make you happy, you know, and almost like stop pointing a finger at him.
Yeah, well, the truth of the matter is you've spent now all these years not being happy. You know, all of a sudden, I guess he can't understand why you want to be happy. But, you know, even though you've given the best years of your life away, it doesn't mean that you can't salvage what's ever left. I mean, today, 65 is nothing.
Oh,
you know,
so in other
still
words,
another, you
being
still have
on my
another
own.
30 years to go. Is this how you want to spend your next 30 years?
No.
Even
no.
your next 3 years? I mean, why stay with a man who just can't give you anything?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is it? What's in this for you?
I mean, mainly, though, it's at a point right now where if my doors are closed, he pretty much knows he better not come in here. But he will occasionally open them. I say, Bob, why do you think the doors are closed? Who am I trying to keep out? The dog can't open and close the doors. I said, I don't want you in here when my doors are closed. The French doors, that's why I'm saying doors.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what kind of marriage is this, Pat? This isn't a marriage. This is a...
I know, but
I don't even know what to say. I can't even say it's a relationship because you don't even have much of a relationship.
It's like I have a bad roommate that I don't get along with. That's all it is. But
have you worked before?
Are
you retired now? Or
Oh, I sell on eBay.
Right. I mean,
so I have my own little business.
What kind of business do you have?
I sell on eBay.
Right.
Online.
What are you selling?
Oh, I'm selling old ads from old magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another problem. I have thousands of magazines, and all I can think of is, where would I move? Where would I put these? Would I get a two-bedroom apartment, put all
mm-hmm.
of them in? But I would have to put them all in a bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
I've been out looking. When I was going to get the divorce, I went out and looked. And it's like a little scary to think, oh, you got to give up your house on this nice street. You know, you're so set in this little room. But
right.
then
so you're willing to compromise
pressure.
Your life and just live like this then?
I don't
right.
know. See, I'm at that point where I'm not quite sure. So as I said to him, I haven't made any decisions yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I did meet a friend, an old friend, a year ago, and I was telling her some of this. And she said to me, Pat, do you have money of your own? And I said, yeah, basically I do. She said, pick a date and get out. And that was a year ago, you know, and I didn't do anything.
I think that was very good advice.
Yeah. I think that that's probably what's going to end up happening.
Let's ask Misty for her opinion. Misty, what
okay.
do you think of all this?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
First of all, my heart goes out for you to be there and stay in there that long. I know if I look back, I was with my ex-husband for, including the dating and the relationship, about 12 years. I cannot imagine being with someone being treated the way I was treated for, you know, 30-plus years.
I've always felt like I was a strong person. I can handle mm-hmm. anything. I can handle this. You know, that's why.
Well,
and
it's like my favorite saying. You know, I guess I could have handled it, but do I want to settle for less or do I want to settle for more?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
yeah.
it comes to a point, you know, quality
mm-hmm.
of life for me was better than staying. I just couldn't stay any longer. It was very abusive, and I couldn't stay any longer.
Yeah.
It was destroying who I was.
Well, that's exactly, you know, some of what has happened, although, I mean, well, yeah. He would, I always felt like he threw me to the ground and then took his foot and just scrunched me in, you know, just put me down, just negative to everything I ever had to say, anything I ever wanted in my life, you know, a man to go out to certain places. I mean, I can remember crying my heart out, trying to get him to go to some new restaurant. And then a few months later, he'd say, oh, Bill, you know, a friend in the neighborhood said, told me about this great restaurant that we're going to have to try. It's like, oh, now you think I want to go somewhere that you're suggesting? You know, after I cried my heart out, my parents would be coming into town, you know, and I'd think of some great place to take them. I can't even tell you. I mean, there's one story after another of me.
Well, I think a lot of it, though, Pat, comes from years of living with someone who's beating you down. You know,
exactly.
And I think it really makes you lose
exactly.
your self-confidence. And you get to the point where you're just living in a state of limbo. You're living in a state of just existence.
But
really
see, I never
living,
felt...
It's just existing.
I never felt like I had a real specific reason to say, this is it, I'm getting out now.
Oh, well,
he
wait a minute. You
me.
Have a
he never beat me.
It doesn't matter. You're emotionally beaten down. You know, a lot of times women think if somebody doesn't, you know, physically abuse them, then they're not being abused.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're living in a loveless, emotionless marriage with someone who's, you know, knocking you down all the time and isolating you
mm-hmm.
and making you feel worthless, that's another form of abuse.
Yeah.
And
but then, you know, you get
this denial.
This is not
what marriage is about, by the way. You know, marriage is about love, companionship, trust, understanding. Even if he
mm-hmm.
didn't want to have sex with you, he would be laying in bed holding your hand, showing you some
yeah.
intimacy.
Yeah.
But he's not doing
exactly.
that. Exactly. He's not, you're not even around, in bed.
I look around at all these other couples. I mean, that's all I do. I'm like, oh, look, he put his arm around her. I can't tell you how many times I've had tears in my eyes just thinking, wow, I don't have that. You know, not even that. There's nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
Well, that's why your marriage is not. And you
yeah,
don't
I mean,
need to stay there because it's not a marriage. It's just a roommate, like you say, not even a
oh.
good one.
All right. Well, this has been really good talking about it because, you know, I'm on the verge of making that decision. And I mean, it is so late in life, but I'm out there. I do meet men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they like me because I'm kind of outgoing. I can be a little kooky.
Mm-hmm.
I like to laugh. And, you know, as you get older, it's easier to talk because, you know, you're really not out there trying to, you know, like a younger person, really trying to meet this mate. I'm just out kind of having fun. So
right.
They like
and you know
me.
What? You can have a lot of fun and not feel the pressures and
mm-hmm.
not feel you have to report into someone who's going to knock you down. You know, there's
uh-huh.
no way you're going to make them jealous and make them change. I hope you realize that.
Oh, no. And I wouldn't want it. Oh, my God.
Right. I mean, it's not like
no.
he's going to say, oh, you know what? I'm going to finally wake up now and realize this woman's so great and somebody else is going to
mm-hmm.
take her. You know,
uh-huh.
he has contempt
no.
for you because he doesn't want to live with you to start with.
But he does want to keep me here.
He wants to
I mean,
keep you there. That's different. That's different than
yeah.
wanting to live with you.
That's
you know,
right.
For whatever his cover is or forever, whatever his reason is, if he needs to have
mm-hmm.
a wife to show that, you know, he is, you know, that he's normal.
Yeah.
And that
well,
he's using
I mean,
you.
I do feel like I have finally figured it out. That's probably why I've been here so long. I didn't know. You know,
right.
you always feel
you
like
need to be his cover,
you're doing
Pat.
Something wrong. What?
I said, you don't need to be his cover anymore.
Well, I've just figured all that out, though.
Mm-hmm.
Really, you know, the final piece to the puzzle in the last week, I swear this is the truth. I didn't know. I wasn't quite sure, you know, of what the hell was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's so there in front of me right now. It's like, you fool, what were you thinking? But, you know, it's the control, the manipulation, the
exactly.
dominance,
mm-hmm.
all these things that I really feel like I was waiting to die, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought death is just going to be next, and I don't even care. I just didn't care. Well, until this man came along and kind of brought me back to life,
mm-hmm.
you see, so I really was like walking death.
Mm-hmm.
For all these years that he's been in this house since he quit the golf club. I mean, prior to that, I thought, you know, I was kind of just doing my own thing. But living with this person, I mean, I could have been out really having fun, and I never went out at night. I never flirted. You know, I mean, the only friends we had for a while were these other married couples. Some of the men came on to me a couple of times, but I thought, oh, no, this is my friend's husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it was kind of nice to know that they had some interest. And I used to think to myself, well, I'm sure that they think, wow, Bob is really kind of lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think, eat your heart out. You know, I wanted them to think that I just had, you know, probably the best sex life they could ever imagine. Because
mm-hmm.
I did think I was cute, kind of sexy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, now, like, add 10 years and sitting on in front of my computer, but I mean, I still have like a lot of spunk, you know what I mean?
Right, you seem very lively and you seem to have very, you know, good personality traits. And
mm-hmm.
you seem to want to take your life back because you haven't had it in 30 some years.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's taken your life from you. You need to take it back. It's your life. You don't need
yeah.
him there. And I don't care
like
if he's gay or if he's this or he's that or he's just not
mm-hmm.
normal.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
That's what it comes
absolutely.
Down to. You know, a lot of women have husbands who just aren't normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to them, you know, you don't need an excuse to stay with a man who doesn't know how to love you like a woman.
But, you know, I think I've always felt sorry for him. Is
well,
that an excuse
sorry
for staying?
Yourself.
Yeah,
you
I
need
guess.
To start feeling
I...
sorry for you because he's ripped
mm-hmm.
away your whole life there.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And now it's time for you to take it back. You know,
all right.
whatever years you have left, you know, life is very fragile. We've all learned that over and over.
Oh, I know.
You can be
I
here
know.
Today and gone tomorrow. And wouldn't you hate to, you know, leave tomorrow and think, I could have had some happy years back for myself, but I didn't take them.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that bother you?
It does, but then, you know, you think, well, here's this person, though, who would kind of take care of me. And, you know, I had to go to the hospital.
He hasn't taken care
ago.
Of you yet.
Hmm.
I mean, just somebody drives you to the hospital, you know, you can have a chauffeur come and do that. Call a taxi cab.
No, I was in an ambulance.
Okay.
And I was looking at him. He was standing there looking so pathetic. And
mm-hmm.
the only thing I could think of was my love on the internet. And I'm thinking, I don't care for this person. Oh, and then when he picked me up from the hospital, I had left my cell phone at home.
Mm-hmm.
Looked in the cell phone. Well, I had been communicating with this man in California, and
mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that we were talking at a time when the charges were there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it should have been like a little bit later at night. So he found the phone bill first, my cell phone bill with all these charges. So he called that guy. And then he was driving me home, and he said something about, you know, I saw all those calls on your cell phone, and I go, you were snooping, and you found out who my boyfriend is? But it was just the guy, you know what I mean? Because I was looking. I was looking for male, true male companionship,
uh-huh.
you know, somebody that was flirtatious.
And you have a chance to have that. You know, you just have to get out of that situation.
Right, because I can't seem to have it here. He's just wanting to.
No, you can't. And you
don't want control.
You shouldn't have to. You need to be emotionally free and be available to someone. You know,
right,
somebody's
exactly.
Somebody's not going to want to pick up the baggage either. You have to be, you know, baggage-free in order to get involved with somebody for a happy relationship.
Exactly.
All right.
And I was going to add to that,
yes.
if I may. You know,
mm-hmm.
live in your truth. If he's not going to live in his truth, you can't force him to live in his truth. Whether he be
uh-huh.
gay or whether he be leading whatever type of life he's living with you, because it, you know, that's not a normal life. Whatever's going on, it's not a normal life. Let me rephrase that: not a normal relationship. So you just have to live in your truth. And if he doesn't choose to live in his truth, that's him. But only you
mm-hmm.
can change you. So I encourage you to get out there, and you know, life is more than just surviving.
Right. It's not more than just existing. It's called living. And, you know, just because you're breathing doesn't mean you're living. It means you're existing.
I kept going back to the little phrase, for better or worse.
Yeah, well, they didn't mean this when they put that phrase in. Let me explain that to you. For better or worse means that, you know, some kind of tragedy happens that you weren't expecting, that you're willing to stand there. It doesn't mean that every day of your life is crappy and you have to stay.
Right, and that this person is just beating you down.
Right, that was misinterpreted. You know, so often people will throw that in your face for better or worse. This is not worse. This is ridiculous.
It is. It absolutely is. I'm glad I called.
For better and worse, nearly got myself killed. So, I mean, you got to be careful. I was in a abusive situation with my ex-husband. So, I mean, you have to be careful. I mean, how do you define worse? I mean, be careful with that. I'm like, Bonnie, you know, this is beyond worse when you're forced to not live in your truth and you're denied who you are. So it's
and I always tell women, if you do think your husband is gay, you know, there's a reason why you think it. You know, women don't think that straight men are gay.
Yes.
You have to learn how to trust your instincts. And
you
I
have
will
to
tell
go
you
with
one
your
thing.
Instinct.
When you took your marriage vows, you didn't say for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for sickness and health, for straight, or for gay. The straight and gay part did not come up in your marriage vows.
That's right. You're right.
Right?
But this has all just really come to light. So I'm glad I called because
yeah, we're
you're
glad
giving
you pulled
me a lot
through,
of
Pat, and we hope
encouragement.
That you take your life back. We hope that, you know, stay in touch with us.
I
know,
will.
Go to my website.
I'll call you again.
And, you know,
and I'll tell
free.
You where I'm.
You know, if you want, email me and I'll send you my newsletters. They'll help give you strength.
Okay.
You know, it'll help build you up as far as, you know, knowing what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I know now. I do think I know. And I'm going to see this therapist on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been talking to a couple of women that have gone through this, and so I got to get out or get him out. I'd love to get him to move.
And if not, take your magazines and go.
Just take the magazines and go. But I have thousands. Well, anyway, I'll figure it out.
Get a place with a garage.
Pardon me?
Get a place with a garage.
That's what I'd like to do.
You can always find a way out. You know, don't let that stand in your way. Don't let the articles be the stopping. You need to make a plan and to carry through with it and save yourself.
Okay. I am going to do that.
All right, keep in touch with us.
I'm going to do it. I will. Thanks so much. Take care.
My heart's
open. I will.
Take care.
Bye
bye.
Bye.
Well, Misty, that was an interesting story.
It was. Wow. I mean, she wrote such an interesting topic, and I nearly let it take my way, my life away, was the better for worse part. I nearly stayed over just that very phrase right there that I said in those vows to my ex-husband.
Yeah, well, like I say, with that better or worse thing, I think that people really misinterpret that. Like, they do a lot of stuff. And, you know, once again, I go for the sickness or health, you know, sometimes. Because sometimes the health is mental health, and that's impossible to live with also. You know, women shouldn't have to feel so obligated to words that aren't meant to be what, you know, what they think they are. But once, I always tell women that when you're taking those wedding vows, it's not for rich or for poor or for this or that, for straight or for gay. If you're not saying for straight or for gay, then you haven't taken that vow. Do you think they should add that to the marriage vow?
I think they should. I know when I go out with men, that's like on my questionnaire. They have to go to that interview. Are you gay or are you straight? You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't mind if you're gay, but if you fantasize about men, really, I don't think we need to be in a loving relationship, you know? So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's why I tell women, does it matter if he's gay? I mean, if gay is the only excuse you need to get out of your marriage, then there's something wrong. If you're not fulfilled,
absolutely.
If you're living with someone who's not a husband to you, who's not, you know, who's not a partner to you, that's what marriage is. It's not supposed to be a living arrangement where somebody's using you for their own needs. I mean, that's not a marriage.
Absolutely.
And yet look how many women are willing to settle in their lives for something that's so unreal.
I know. And Bonnie, I should have, and I don't know why I didn't, but, you know, I've been able to learn from this and use it to help other women. I should have left for 10 to 15 other reasons in addition to just thinking he was gay, you know. And the marriage was so bad, so abusive. And just I let him beat me down emotionally, physically. And it's hard. And the longer you stay inside that circle of crazy, as I call it, the longer you dance inside there, the harder it is to know what reality is and the harder it is to realize you deserve more and it's not a normal situation.
And Misty, let's just talk for a minute before we go about abuse, because so many times women think you have to have black and blue marks on your face to be an abuse victim. You know, and that's a scary thing because emotional abuse doesn't leave physical scars. It's not like you're going to see somebody that has a big E on their head that they're being emotionally abused. It doesn't have that black and blue scarring. It's all internal. So abuse doesn't have to be a physical abuse. Emotional abuse is something that's constant, it's daily, and it's every day of your life. And it's just as devastating as any physical abuse. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. I've talked to women before that have experienced both physical and the mental and emotional abuse. And most all of them tell me, you know, at least when he hit me, I recovered faster. Most of them will tell me that the emotional, the beating down in terms of the words, it takes a long time to lose that or to get through that. And it's so difficult. Like you said, the emotional abuse is not going to cause a black or blue mark on the outside of your body. But let me tell you, it's just, it's still a form of abuse. And it's a terrible thing to go through. And the sad part about it is it's easier for the abuser to hide it. It's easier for the victim to scoff it off as, well, maybe I deserve that. My ex always told me, this was always his phrase, do you see what you made me do to you? Do you see what? And like I had control over his behaviors or his actions or his words. Do you see what you made me say to you? Do you see what you made me do to you? And, you know, when you hear anything like that, please, women, you're not making anyone do anything. It's their choice.
So many times that women internalize that and they really start believing it is my fault.
Yes.
You know, if I was only this, if I was that, if I would do this better. Because they make you just feel, you know, once again, this is not just gay men. So I tell women all the time, if you have a relationship and you're not feeling strong about yourself, you can walk right into another kind of abusive relationship with a straight man. There are predators
Absolutely.
Of all sexualities out there. You don't have to be gay to be a predator. There are plenty
Absolutely.
Of straight predators out there. And men who have so many different issues of mental health, all kinds of sexual deviant kinds of behavior, you know, not gay, I'm talking about all kinds of deviant sexual behavior. They want their wives to do things that the wives are not comfortable with. No woman should ever have to stay in that kind of a marriage. And no woman should ever have to feel that she has to say yes to prove that she loves her husband. If your husband's asking you to do something that you're not comfortable with, learn to say no. And if he's not going to love you because of it, or he's going to say to you, well, then I'll find someone else who will, then let him do that and walk away. You know, so many times women feel like there's chains on their feet that they can't move. They're immobilized. They're paralyzed. They don't realize that it's only, you know, it's just like when Dorothy was in Oz and she only had to click her heels to get home. That's all you have to do is put on your walking shoes and to open the door and walk. Wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely. And there's so many resources out there, you know, that will help you if you're unable to leave or you're afraid to leave. There's so many different support groups out there, regardless of whether your husband is gay or, like you said, if you're in this loveless relationship where someone's being mean to you,
mm-hmm.
you can leave. You can leave. And there's lots of resources out there.
And I'm not saying that is easy. I know it's not easy. But guess
it's
what?
Not easy.
Staying there has to be harder. Staying
Absolutely.
With someone who can't be kind to you. I always say to women, you have to find a man who's going to treat you like you're a queen. You know, you have to love yourself enough to want to have the best for yourself. You have to be a role model to your children. You have to show them that you don't have to live with someone who can't treat you correctly, because your children are going to repeat your patterns. They will become your legacy. So if you don't do it for yourself, do it for your children. And talking about children, remember, Misty, that next week we're really going to focus on the children, which I think is going to be a really important topic. We're going to ask some of our women to call in and talk about their experiences with children and how their children have handled the whole issue of their, you know, gay fathers, and what makes a positive relationship, you know, how can life move on in a positive way for the sake of the children. So I think that should be a really good show, don't you?
Absolutely, yes, because it's such an important topic, because I hear so many women say, I'm not going to leave because of the children. And like you just said, you know, you can still have relationships and even improved relationships
mm-hmm.
after a divorce.
Absolutely.
Because if a child is growing up in a home where there's conflict and there's abusive behavior going on in terms of talking down to the spouses and back and forth, bickering, complaining, it's not a nourishing environment for the child. It's not. And
absolutely.
We teach our children how to have relationships, whether we teach them in a good way or whether we teach them to put up with stuff. So we teach them. They learn from us about relationships. So it's so important. It'll be a very important topic, and I'm looking forward to it.
So in signing off, we would just like to wish our listeners a good week. If you need our help, or if you'd like to write in for comments or suggestions, please feel free to write to me at bombk@aol.com, or you can go to my website at www.gayhusbandswithans.com, and you can see how to link to me at that point. Also, if you want to get in touch with Misty, just drop me a note, and I will send you Misty's information. So, Misty, I want to wish you a very happy week. I hope that your weather clears up.
Me too.
We will be back. We'll be back here next Sunday night. And until then, have a good week.
Absolutely. You too, Bon. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.